If you are someone who's looking to learn more about fertility awareness method for natural birth control or conception, and you're ready to finally get to the root of hormone imbalances for good, this is the podcast for you. The cool thing is, Fertility Awareness Method is here for you in all seasons of your life. When you're looking to prevent pregnancy, when you're ready to conceive, and when you want to use it postpartum. So if you're in the phase of your life where you are looking for a natural form of birth control without all the hormones, head on over to my free training, nourishedwithnina.com/famtraining for all of the information. All right, let's go ahead and hop right into this new episode.
And really fill your space in your home, on your social media. Surround yourself with all of the things that really make you feel good.
Hey everyone, welcome back to a new episode of the Healing Hormones Podcast. I'm Nina Boyce, your host, certified hormone and fertility coach, and Reiki practitioner. Today on the podcast, I am chatting with Jessica Victoria, who, as you probably guessed it, I linked up with on Instagram. And sometimes it's just nice to sit down, turn on the recording button, and just chat with somebody who has such a similar philosophy to you when it comes to women's health, hormones, and fertility. So Jessica is a holistic nutrition practitioner and women's health and hormones coach. And as you'll hear in this episode, we touch on a lot of different topics, but it always comes back to tuning into the body, listening to the body. And we also offer some really helpful resources for you if you're looking for more hormone support. Before we hop into this episode with Jessica, I wanted to remind everybody that I am only taking 3 more private clients for the next 6 months. So that means by the time September hits, I'm going to be closing down my 6-month private program, and I won't be relaunching it again until February. So if you've been really looking to work with somebody one-on-one, you're trying to transition off of birth control, you're looking to rebalance the body, start to get to the root of some of your symptoms, learn fertility awareness method, how to track your cycle, get really in tune with your fertile clues, or maybe you're looking to prepare your body for conception, private coaching is the perfect program for you. You get 10 coaching sessions with me virtually or in person if you're here in Columbus, 2 Reiki sessions, a tarot reading. You have access to Voxer, which is an app I use with all my clients where you can voice memo me, text me throughout your sessions for full support. I am there with you every step of the way. No more Googling, no more reading all of the books, no more listening to all of the podcasts, right? It's all about getting the individualized guidance that you deserve and that you're looking for. Plus, the 6-month coaching experience also includes testing. So we can do a hormone Dutch analysis test. We can do the hair mineral test, so many different options that you can tailor to your needs. So again, I only have 3 spots left, and the doors for that 6-month program are closing at the beginning of September. So I would love to chat with you more about this. If you're interested in 6-month private coaching, you can schedule your 30-minute hormone deep dive at the link in the show notes. Okay, let's go ahead and hop right into this episode with Jessica Victoria. Hey, Jessica, I am so excited to have this conversation with you today. When we became friends on Instagram, I immediately was like, wow, I have a lot in common with this girl. Like, I feel like we are on the same mission. We're talking about hormone balance, fertility. And so when we got in touch, I was like, yes, this is going to be a great fit for the podcast. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited.
You're welcome. I want you to start with just explaining who you are and what you do. I mentioned that we follow each other on Instagram, but I want you to explain where you're coming from and how you got into the world of hormones.
Yeah. So I'm a holistic nutrition practitioner, also a bar fitness instructor and women's health and hormone coach, natural fertility coach. And I think we all kind of get into this, you know, because we had struggled with it ourselves at some point, right? Like we always kind of make our mess our message, right? So you know, I was on birth control for 10 or 11 years. When I got off of birth control, it was because I started studying nutrition a little bit, and I started to, you know, learn about the different ways that birth control might be affecting my body and my hormones. And I generally just wasn't feeling great, and I didn't have kind of like an interest, like nothing really sparked my interest so much. You know what I mean? Like nothing, like now I have so many things that I love to do and interest me and so many hobbies and all of these things, but nothing really sounded interesting to me. And like knowing what I know now and reading all the books that I've read on how birth control impacts just like our health and our mental health, it's so clear to me like that's what was happening that I didn't know.
Birth control dampens our creativity. It truly does. Totally. And not every woman is sensitive to that. I understand. But the amount of women I've worked with that get off birth control and all of a sudden they're like, whoa, like this is
later.
Yes.
You're like, oh my God, all those years, that's what I felt like. And I could have felt like this kind of thing.
Yes.
But I also developed post-pill amenorrhea. So I didn't have my period for over 2 years after I came off of the pill. And I wasn't really getting answers as to why that was happening. I went to my doctor. They didn't really know why. And I started doing my own research, but there was not much on the internet at that time.
How long ago was this?
This was like 10 years ago.
Got it. Yeah.
Okay. So this was 10 years ago. So there was not like as many women in this kind of like health and hormone space.
Right.
They were not blogs. There was no podcast. There was nothing. And the only thing that I could really find online, like that kept coming up, was this kind of dysregulation in the HPA axis, which at the time meant nothing to me. Like I didn't know what that meant. I mean, there was nothing about the HPO axis or how that connects to the reproductive system. It was just like, there's this hormonal axis and it somehow is not communicating with the brain. And for me, it sounded like completely foreign.
Yeah.
And I just had to learn about it. And I had to start learning how to, you know, find different supplements and foods that could help me just by asking like the different naturopaths in health food stores and stuff. And they eventually led me to books.
Yeah.
Through this journey of like not having my period, I actually got pregnant without a period.
Wow. So do you not know? Well, obviously you knew that you ovulated that month. Would that have been the first month you were getting your period back?
Yeah, I had no idea.
Wow.
I was like, I didn't know I ovulated.
Yeah.
And so I didn't think I could get pregnant if I didn't have a pregnant. Now I know ovulation comes first, but at the time, I was so confused and I didn't know I was pregnant for a really long time.
Wow. How long did it take for you to figure out you were pregnant?
I found out at like 10 or 11 weeks.
Oh my gosh. What is really interesting. So I have a friend that got off birth control and like got pregnant right away. And then like another one that was pregnant and then didn't really even have a period because she was breastfeeding and then got pregnant again. And it's like, sometimes we don't even realize like our body. I mean, you obviously have to ovulate to get pregnant. You also have to ovulate to have a true period. So I understand why you were like, well, probably not going to get pregnant. Yeah.
I was very young too at the time. But it's funny how looking back, there were so many things that I wish I would have known. And I wish there would have been the women that there are now that talk so openly about periods and hormones, because it would have changed my whole life. And it would have, you know, and I'm so grateful for everything that happened. But, you know, looking back, it really would have helped me to have someone like myself or you to kind of guide me through it.
Yeah. That's why we're here now.
Totally. So then I got pregnant and then I started kind of documenting my pregnancy on Instagram. I didn't have very many followers or anything, but I just kind of started documenting kind of my version of a healthy pregnancy, and people seemed to be interested in it. They really liked when I would post even food for my daughter after she was born, that sort of thing. And then this whole thing just kind of fell onto my lap based on what my clients were asking me for.
Yeah.
And once I decided as a practitioner that I was going to stop trying to help everybody and I was really going to focus on one particular, you know, niche, and that was the niche dealing with symptoms that I had actually experienced my own self.
What's interesting is I was the same way in that I went to IIN, got a health coaching certificate, and I realized I almost was like, I want to help everyone. I'm going to focus on gut health and I'm going to focus on this and that. And, oh, you need help with health coaching, I'm here for you. But then I realized that isn't where my heart is. My heart is helping women, and it's within hormones. And even recently, since I started this podcast, it's very much niched down into like helping women get off birth control and getting pregnant. And so same thing as sounds like for you is you were like, this is where I want to focus. And there is so much that needs to be shared about women's hormones. Like, we all need to be here sharing this with our communities, because let's be real, women have no idea the intricacies of our body. Like, we've never been taught.
Yeah, it blows my mind how, you know, I can be speaking with a client who's in their like late 30s or even 40s, or even somebody going through perimenopause, and they never knew how their body actually works.
Right.
You know? Or like even speaking to like family members of mine who are now like past menopause, and they're like, well, we didn't really know when we ovulated. We just kind of did it when we did it. And
exactly.
It happened.
Yeah.
You know, so there's no like real tools for them. It just, you know, so now with all of this information, I think it has this potential to really help women understand their bodies in a way that women were never taught. Mm-hmm. And it was almost kind of like taboo to talk about it, but we were all thinking about it. And I don't know about you, but like, I remember being a young teenager, and like computers like were just like new, and like Googling things. I don't know if it was Google at the time, but like Googling or like looking on the internet for like different things about my body and like if it's normal.
Oh, you know what I mean? Like I remember, this is sort of like an embarrassing story, but not really, because every woman has this, but like I talk about cervical mucus a lot. Okay. Like it's key to our fertile window, ovulation, everything, and healthy estrogen levels. And I was like, when I was younger, I had no idea what that was. Like, I honestly was like, what the hell is wrong with me? What is happening? What is this stuff that happens in my underwear like every month? And I am telling you, when I finally tell women that that is normal, in fact, like it is a healthy, yes, they are so relieved. And I'm sure there are millions of women that have Googled like what is happening and what is coming out of my vagina right now.
Yeah, totally. Totally. So that's really my main goal, is to help women understand their bodies, to be a little bit nicer to themselves, to give themselves a little bit more compassion, especially during times in our cycle where we're a little bit lower energy or we need a little bit more rest. A lot of the times we are just kind of trying to push through it. And we feel like we need to, you know, be the same all month long and have the same energy and do all the same things. But when we know that our body needs different things at different phases in our cycle, then we can be like, okay, well, I know I'm in this phase. I know that my body is asking me for more rest. So I might have to like do something at work, or I might have to like, you know, I've already said yes to something, but I can, you know, I can give myself that little bit of compassion and be less hard on myself and just kind of support my body in other ways. Maybe when I get home or like with my nighttime ritual or something like that. You know?
Yeah, I love teaching syncing to the cycle. And so why don't we dig into that for a second? So we've talked about that a little bit on the podcast. So what I would love to do is maybe let's do a quick overview and share some of our favorite things to do within each phase of the cycle. I would love to hear yours. So let's start with like menstruation, because we know that's when our hormones are at their lowest. So like, what are your favorite things to share with your clients about that phase of the cycle?
Yeah. So I think it's just about resting and listening to your body, right? A lot of women will actually in my groups or in my group programs complain about their periods and they hate their periods or they don't look forward to it. And I think there's a lot of things about the menstrual phase that can be something that we don't look forward to. But at the same time, you know, I really love it because it's my time to really rest, you know, in a little bit more, not judge myself for it. So I really personally look forward to my menstrual phase. I drink all of, you know, the warm teas and I eat all the foods and that sort of thing. And if there's something that's blocking you from liking your menstrual phase, like maybe cramps, whatever it is, maybe very like fatigue, there's always ways to support your body kind of to eliminate some of those symptoms. I mean, in your case, I know you said like you for sure do all the things and still have cramping. So for that case, you know,
it's hard, but there are still things like I have my heating pad and I am taking, I'll do cramp bark. I mean, there are things that you can do to help ease the symptoms. Now, of course, if you're struggling with something underlying, then it can be more difficult. But the point is we need to understand that our body goes through these ebbs and flows. And so, I mean, I know personally, I've started to dread my period too, because I'm like, the pain is going to come. What am I going to do about it? But I have to switch that because I need to think this is also a time of release. So how can I understand that the pain may be there, but what can I do, like you were just mentioning, to complement and release what I can? And I think that's really the gift of the menstrual phase, is honestly thinking about what needs to be released and how you can maybe like trust the body a little bit more.
Totally. And that's something that we're really not ever, you know, taught to do. If anything, I feel like when I was growing up, we were taught that these kinds of symptoms, you know, were kind of the body doing something negative to us or making us feel bad. But a lot of hormonal symptoms, and I always like to say hormones, it's all about making the body feel safe and supported, right? So the more you can make your body feel safe and supported, and that's with like even pain, right? Whether it be period cramps or even pelvic pain, or like I was mentioning to you, bladder pain. It's all about making your body feel safe and supported and accepting yourself for who you are, where you are, and whichever phase you're in, right? There's beauty in all of the phases of the cycle. And I think that it's amazing as women that we can shift through these different phases. And with my clients, I really like to give them these simple things that they can do in each phase, so that, you know, they can look forward to it. They can look forward to implementing some of those kind of, whether it be a morning ritual or a nighttime ritual, or even a simple supplement like magnesium.
Yeah, absolutely. We love magnesium here. We love magnesium.
So, but we even have here in Quebec, we have a local brand that makes herbal tea blends. And we have one called Good Goddess Tea. And I'm sure there's different brands that make this, but it's basically a mix of red raspberry leaf with nettle leaf and peppermint or peppermint leaf. So, and there it's a loose herb. So you would basically, you know, steep that and sip that throughout the day if you were having menstrual cramps or as a nighttime ritual in your luteal phase. And that is one of the things that I give to my clients to do just to kind of ease some of those.
I love that.
So just trying to bring some joy into it and just giving your body that kind of rest that it's asking for.
Totally. I'm big on pulling out my tarot cards during the menstrual phase because I feel like it's the time that you are the most intuitive. So it's like, let's dig into that. Let's hear these intuitive messages. So I love everything that you shared. What about the follicular phase? That's when we know our estrogen is rising and so is our energy. So do you have any favorite tips for that phase?
Yeah. So this is generally where I'll encourage my clients to, especially now that it's summer and it's hotter outside, to kind of become more of like the smoothies and the salads, because I do give my clients recipe guides and stuff. And so I tailor them to the different phases. So the follicular is generally more kind of light and summery. Also in my bar classes, I'll always explain to the girls, okay, this is your time. Your energy's picking up. You can do more. You could do more of the higher impact stuff. So just kind of the thing is also, though, if you are having hormonal imbalance, like my private group coaching or in my private coaching or my group coaching, a lot of the girls actually have hormonal imbalances that don't allow them to have this increase in energy in the follicular phase.
That's a good thing to note. Yeah.
They actually feel like they're in their luteal phase the entire month. So in that case, I don't recommend that they do the higher impact workouts, and I don't recommend that they, you know, change their diet to like super raw or anything like that, because there really is work to do. And in that case, I would treat like their whole month more like the luteal or menstrual phase, really making sure that they're giving their body rest, that they're nourishing their body with, you know, healthy foods and that sort of thing, pushing themselves so much. Because I think that's important to do until you get your hormones to a place where they're a little bit more balanced, and you aren't feeling that kind of shift between higher energy and lower energy sort of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I also wanted to note that when you were talking about when you have hormone imbalances, you struggle with that energy, that also like is tied to it might be more difficult for you to digest like raw vegetables and more salads and things like that too. So it's all tied together. You can really see how when you're struggling with hormone imbalances, you also can be struggling with digestion and breaking down some of those really fibrous rich, nutrient rich foods. But at that time, your belly isn't just work. It's not working for it.
Absolutely. And everybody's different, right? When it comes to food. So I don't really have, I've spoken about this on my Instagram of why I hate meal plans.
Number
one thing people ask me for when I do my programs is, does it come with a meal plan?
Yes.
Like, you know what? Like, I'm going to give you some recipes, like a little kind of like recipe ebook,
for sure.
But that's inspiration. It's by no means me telling you that this is what you have to eat at this time, at this day, because like I said, we're all different. We're all in different phases. And you might be in your follicular phase, but your energy might not be, you know, high enough, or your hormones might be a little bit out of whack. Or maybe your digestion just needs some support and you can't really digest, a raw smoothie within a big raw salad and all the raw veggies. So we're all totally different when it comes to foods. I really don't believe in food rules because
Oh my goodness. Right? Yeah.
I think I spent the majority of my life up until maybe like 2 years ago, just like completely obsessed with food. And yes. I think my journey into nutrition in general was based on orthorexia, or it developed into orthorexia anyway. And then it took me a really long time to get to this place where, you know what, like last weekend we went up north and I had this giant ice cream cone, like full cow's milk dairy, full everything. And I sat back and I'm like, oh my God, I feel fine.
I feel like we are speaking the same language, because I just did a podcast on the Babesmint. Shout out to them. Listen to it if you haven't listened to it. But I was talking about that same thing where I really was struggling with orthorexic tendencies, because if you read, and I'm not bashing a lot of the hormone experts out there, but the same message over and over again is no dairy, no gluten, no this, no that. And so what we do is we develop these big fears around food groups for hormone imbalance. And I'm not saying that people should all bring gluten into their diet, because it can be troublesome, you know, and even some people struggle with digesting dairy. But I was doing the same experiment where I've now, and I don't know if you've gotten into this yet, but there's been a lot of new research coming out about how dairy can be actually very beneficial for our hormones and even fertility, the right types of dairy. So I've been experimenting and I'm like, I think I'm fine, you know? And like, we develop these really rigid food rules. And I love that you said you don't do a meal plan, because I almost did this full-on post on my Instagram, I'm probably going to, where it's like, why I will never build you a food plan. Because you can never follow that, because your body doesn't stay consistent.
Never. Never works out. It's never kind of a long-term thing. You try, and then that's the thing. With my clients, it's like, in the beginning, when I was following more of like the conventional way of coaching, I was giving them all the things that like I was reading about. And I think that those books, you know, avoid dairy, avoid gluten, and all of like the same things that they're telling us to avoid, it's because majority of people probably will get some good results by doing that.
For sure.
I think they're trying to help like the majority of people, but at the same time, when like us, right, we're working very one-on-one with our clients, and we're kind of, you know, looking through their medical history and looking through their lifestyle forms and all of that, and their food journals, and like really getting to know their body and their symptoms. It's like, okay, so we can get a little bit more individual with them, because we're, you know what I mean? Like, we're meeting face to face with them. And we're hearing them out. And like, I know for me, I can eat goat's milk dairy, but I can't eat cow's milk dairy, because I'll right away break out all over my chin. Mm-hmm. So, but there's some of my clients who eat cow's milk dairy and they're totally fine on it, you know? So we're all super individual.
That's so nuanced. And I love that you preach that, because I've had people that have requested to come on the show, and I really don't have them come on if I feel like they're very dogmented in a specific nutritional approach, because I don't want to preach that here. And I think that there, like you mentioned, across the board, there are some things that are going to help women. And I think when they're struggling, and you're right, I've never thought about it that way with the books. That was a really good point, that when you eliminate some of these items, these bigger food group items, that they will help release symptoms in a majority of people. But why are they helping to release symptoms? And do we need to take all of it out? Or do we just need to maybe heal the gut for a little bit first? And the book doesn't always, the books don't always share that. But when you work one-on-one with somebody like yourself or myself, you figure that out. You're able to then dig deeper and figure out what works for you, not just follow what some hormone expert in a book told you to do.
Yeah. So I think books are a great, you know, place to find information, especially if you have a specific condition like PCOS, or maybe you want to learn more about natural fertility or egg health or something like that. It's a great place to start. But what an actual hormone expert or coach can do is really break down your situation specifically. And find like, what do you need, right? So I have some women, you know, in my fertility group that I'm like, listen, we got to start with gut health, or like, we got to start with cortisol. And they're like, what does that have to do with like what I'm trying to do right now?
You're like, let me get into it, girl.
So I really try and break down this kind of like pyramid of hormones for my clients, and how like there are certain hormones at the top. And when those are out of whack, then our sex hormones become out of whack. Thyroid becomes out of whack. So generally when our like female reproductive hormones are out of whack, it's because something else was already going on before that happened.
Yeah, it's like the tip of the iceberg. The sex hormones, the like first to get out of whack and the last to get back in. So
that's what I teach my clients, and that's what we really aim to do, is really get to the root of the issue, why it's happening. And I might ask them some silly questions and they're like, why are you asking me this? Like, I don't know, were you delivered vaginally, or were you a C-section baby? Yeah. Were you, you know what I mean? Like all of these things, and trying to piece together why this might have happened. Or I had a client with very severe gut issues and dysbiosis. And we like pinpointed down to the fact that she grew up on a farm where there was a lot of pesticide sprayed, like her whole entire childhood. And so it goes back, and that's, you know, really what we do, is we help to kind of help you dig a little deeper.
Yes. Oh, I love that. I'm so glad that you're in this space, because it's great to find people that align with you and really are doing the good work in this space. So we kind of, what were we on? We were on follicular. Let's go. I want to jump back in and finish that round. And then I want to talk about fertility, because that is a big topic of conversation recently. Okay. So we did menstrual, we did follicular. Now we're in ovulatory. Do you have a good tip or two that you like to give your women for that phase?
Okay. So I'll give you one example. You had given me your calendar for booking this podcast.
Yeah.
And I booked it specifically in my ovulatory phase.
Love
because
it.
I wanted like my communication skills, being my first podcast ever, I really wanted my communication skills to be on point. So I always help to, you know, explain to my clients that the ovulatory phase is your time to really kind of, you have the most energy, you can communicate the best, right, out of all the different phases in your cycle. So if you need something, if you need to communicate with your partner or your boss and you want to get something done, this is really the time to do it. And of course, in my bar classes and stuff, I will explain that really this is your highest energy phase, and you know, you can push yourself now and that sort of thing. But also in the fertility space, I really help to teach women how to understand their like ovulation cues and kind of start tracking. And before tracking body temperatures and stuff, I always have my clients, and I'm not a fertility awareness instructor. I know you're studying to do that.
I am.
Awesome. But I have my clients first start with kind of like an intro to it, where they are obviously tracking their periods on the app. And then they're also going a step further and they're tracking, you know, how their energy was.
For sure.
The cervical fluid. A lot of women don't know how to track cervical fluid and how that changes. So ovulation time is really the time where we're going to see more of that. So I'll have them wear maybe like dark colored underwear, navy underwear, or black.
Totally. Underwear. That's one of my biggest tips. I'm like, wear dark underwear in your fertile window. Yeah. That's like one of my biggest tips. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I get them to really be aware of even just like their increase in libido, or maybe they're not having an increase in libido, right? Or maybe it's coming later, so they can start to understand their body and how they're feeling and how it's shifting. Because I know for me personally, I didn't know, like I didn't really realize that my libido was changing throughout the month, right? Mm-hmm. Like I just thought it was supposed to be the same all month long. So really getting to see how I change throughout the month, and especially in the ovulatory phase, going back to that, just really understanding what my body is doing and how it's feeling. And yeah, that's basically it. I mean, I kind of treat the ovulatory phase similar to follicular phase in terms of like diet, nutrition.
They're very similar.
Right. They're very similar, but it's more of that kind of like communication piece or energy piece or libido or cervical fluid that kind of changes around that time.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, luteal. This is the phase we all kind of dread because we start slowing down and we start sometimes feeling symptoms if we have hormone imbalance. So do you have any good tips for that?
Yeah. So this is where, you know, of course, if you are tracking your cycle, you'll know, okay, so if you are tracking your body temperatures, you'll know, okay, now I've passed ovulation. I'm in this kind of lower energy phase. Some women will be able to, you know, keep up with their energy. Their energy will continue to be high, even a little bit past ovulation. But if you're having a lot of PMS, if you're really struggling with PMS, which I know a lot of girls in my local workshop that I do struggle with the PMS, with the bloating, with the fatigue, maybe breakouts, that sort of thing. This is really your body trying to tell you something, right? It's your body trying to tell you, you know, maybe last month or the month before you pushed yourself too much, you know, through the luteal and menstrual phase. So it's always going to catch up with you, right? So just learning how to listen to your body, learning how to, you know, exercise based on where you are in your cycle. So, you know, lowering the impact of your workouts at that point. Your workout should never, ever, ever leave you feeling depleted and tired for the rest of the day, which I know a lot of my, you know, clients do get that. They work out super hard and then they're like, they're toast for the rest of the day.
Because we think that we're doing something good for our body. Yeah. We're like, push it to the limit. We got this. We got this. And then if you notice that you're feeling brain fog or just like shit for the rest of the day, now we know it's you pushed it too hard. It's not good to feel like that.
Yeah. Yeah, totally. So just giving your body what it needs, more rest, more calories, right?
Eat more, always. Not always, but eat more.
When you're trying to balance your hormones, generally, especially if you're, you know, having irregular cycles or missing periods, things like that, you generally want to be eating more and exercising less intensely. And this is something that I think women in general really, really struggle with because we are told that we need to eat less and exercise more all of the time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Right? Women that are struggling with ovulation, the first things I ask, are you eating enough and are you over-exercising? And most of the time people think, they're like, no, I am definitely eating enough. But when you take a look, they're not. And especially with the low carb craze and like the keto, women are stressing out their bodies because they're just not giving their bodies the enough macros that they need to nourish and build these hormones.
Right? Or, fat.
Yes, absolutely.
Right. So, you know, kind of getting into the basics of like balancing your hormones. You know, a lot of the times it's really the simple stuff. Like, are you drinking enough water? Are you eating enough fat? If you're not eating enough fat, your body can't actually make the hormones that you need to feel good, right? Yeah. So are you digesting your food properly? Or are you feeling like bloated and tired? Like you could take a nap after you eat. So kind of getting into like these very common symptoms that a lot of women are experiencing, right? And a lot of the times that's, you know, either digestive, right? So like I mentioned, if you're tired, bloated, gassy after you eat, you know that maybe you need just a little extra digestive support.
Yep.
And if you're, you know, have a super busy lifestyle, maybe you push yourself at work a lot, or you're not sleeping well, or you just have been going through a lot of things, maybe it's a fertility journey that's stressing you out and your cortisol is very high, then that can also affect, right, the rest, the estrogen, the progesterone, and all the rest. So really looking at, you know, those kind of like top tier hormones, right? Yeah. Insulin, your blood sugar levels, are you eating at regular intervals? Are you eating fat, fiber, protein, or is it, you know, lots of carbs and not enough water and all these sorts of things? And are you stressed out all the time? And those are kind of like the two main things that I look at first, right? Mm-hmm. Or three, digestion, blood sugar, and your stress.
Yeah. Speaking my language, girl. I totally am on it. I'm right there with you. Can we just touch a little bit on fertility? Because I know we started talking about it before we got into this podcast. And I've been trying for about 6 months. I mentioned this earlier. I actually have my laparoscopic surgery for endo September. And sometimes it's hard because for the woman listening that feels like they're doing all the right things, right? I'm doing the right things. I'm eating a balanced diet. I'm working out according to my schedule. I'm using fertility awareness method. I know what I'm syncing up. Sometimes the body just has a mind of its own. And there also is a lot of mental, emotional things that we need to address when we're trying to conceive. So I'm curious, maybe just what's your experience with, I know you have a daughter, you're thinking of, or you already are starting to try for a second right now. Do you have any words of wisdom around fertility?
Listen, I think that, you know, for me, right, we had our daughter, it was a surprise. 5 years later, there was a lot of growth that needed to happen on my part in order for us to be ready to have a second. And so like you, you know, I do all of the things, right? Like yeah. I make sure that I'm doing all the cycle syncing stuff and making sure that I'm resting enough and eating enough and exercising for hormone balance, taking all the supplements, the magnesium, the vitamin D, all the good stuff. But sometimes it doesn't happen that easily. And so I don't know if you're tracking your basal body temperatures.
Totally.
I'm not. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I know that majority of practitioners, like in the hormone space or fertility space, will say track your temperatures.
Yeah.
And I was tracking my temperatures at one point, but I was very stressed postpartum and it was more of like an adrenal kind of situation where it was just going up and down and I got frustrated.
Yeah.
But I also felt like tracking my temperatures every single morning was making me feel more stressed than it was making me feel good.
You know what? I want to stop there because I had to take up. So honestly, I'm still keeping track of my temps, but I used to analyze them. So for the first, I would say like the first 4 months I was trying, I was over analyzing, what's my temp doing? And then like, okay, so it rose. I've definitely timed up ovulation correctly. And then I'm like, is it going to keep rising? Is it going to? And then slowly it would start to drop. And we know when our temp drops, that usually means progesterone's dropping. It does mean progesterone's dropping and our period's coming. Well, that was stressing me the F out and I needed to take a step back. And so it's interesting that you said that because I think that that tracking can be helpful. I teach it. But when we get too consumed with the numbers, that goes again with like even food, when we get too consumed with numbers and what we should be doing and how things should look, it's an energetic mismatch for what we're trying Absolutely. To call in. Yeah.
Absolutely. It totally blocks that energy for me at this point in my life. And at this point on my kind of journey trying to conceive, it might change, you know, things are always changing and it's amazing. But at this point, it's not something that I want to do. I'm just kind of, you know, trying to make space in my actual life for the baby that we want, because I know that, you know, up until this point, I was, you know, really trying to grow my business, really trying to connect with all my clients and didn't really have a lot of time. And even now I'm trying to make time, you know, trying to set up the space in my home, trying to figure out how things are going to work when the other baby comes and like just trying to make actual space in my life, because I don't think before there was any space at all. And I was already very stressed out with, you know, my daughter and work and that sort of thing, and keeping up with the house and my husband and all sorts of things, right, that we kind of have to do every day. So I think it's just about, you know, making space in your life and believing that it's possible for you. Because I know for me last night, I was lying down and I was like, okay, why is it that mentally I feel like it's so hard to get pregnant? It's like, how could it be? You know what I mean? Like, even though I've been pregnant before, I was like, oh my God, like I can grow a human. Like, no, I can't grow a human. Like just, you know, that whole mental block of like, maybe it's not possible for me. You know what I mean? And then I was thinking back to my whole journey with chronic pelvic pain. And I was like, during that time, there was no other option for me. I was not going to live with that pain for the rest of my life, even though the doctors were telling me that I was going to. There was no other option. I chose healing.
Yeah.
And I chose that was going to be something that was, you know, possible for me. And not only possible, but actually probable. And I think it's the same thing. I think it's a lot about mindset and it's all about, you know, staying positive and trusting your journey and trusting that maybe it's not happening right now because there's something that needs to happen first or there's some sort of growth. And I don't know about you, but I feel like anytime I started to, you know, work with a client in a specific area in the beginning of my practice, practice, it was more like digestion and gut health. And then, you know, it kind of like went into different things. I always started to experience it myself.
Almost because you're there with it. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was almost like I needed to learn and feel what my clients were going through in order to connect with them. And I feel like all of these things that I've been through and gone through, even though they were really tough in the moment, they have made me grow in ways that I could have never done without it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I can connect so much better with my clients because I know what they're feeling.
You're empathic. You're intuitive. That's what makes a good coach, is that you can relate to what your clients are going through, and you can put yourselves in their shoes.
Yeah. So I think it's just about trusting that you're on your journey and not comparing your journey to anybody else's. Mm. I don't know about you, but everybody on Instagram is popping out babies.
Totally. Oh, yeah. All of my friends are about to have their babies. Some already have. But everybody was pregnant when I wanted to get pregnant. And it was so hard to not do the comparison game. But man, there is so much to the emotional energetic piece of this that you're talking about. I think it's so powerful. Sometimes I think it actually can be more powerful than controlling your nutrition and all the other things you think you should be doing, and also controlling your ovulation, because I did that. I was controlling it for however many months and that wasn't working, because there is some sort of divine timing out there. But also, our womb is like this sacred space. So when we are clenched, like you're talking about, and we're comparing and we're doing all these things, think about the tension just in our body and in our sacral chakra and in our womb space. That is not an inviting place to bring in a little soul being. So we need to be able to broaden and give our body some grace, which I'm speaking for myself right now too, as I say that. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that's a great piece of advice.
I mean, there's a reason why more women get pregnant on vacation, right?
Yeah.
Like, you could be trying and planning and then maybe give up, or like stop for a period of time and like take a break and go on vacation. And then all of a sudden, right, it happens. So,
and how many stories have you heard of the woman that couldn't get pregnant and then finally decided to adopt, or like they finally decided to start IVF, right? And then they get pregnant because it's like they finally just let their guard down. I'm not saying that's for everybody. And so I don't want to offend anybody that isn't on that journey yet. And I know that I'm still currently on my own, but there is something to that releasing and letting things be. Energy.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, going back to comparison, it applies to everything. It applies to where you are in your life, where you are in your career, where you are on your fertility journey, where you are in your health and wellness journey, with your fitness goals, with your weight even, right? When we compare ourselves and like to other people, it just makes us feel so bad. And I think that it's important, especially now at a time where social media is so big and we're all on social media, and we're so kind of, we're consuming it so much. We really need to, and I teach my clients this, especially in the natural fertility group, when we work on cortisol and stress and mindfulness, is make your social media a safe place for your mental. Yeah. Make it a safe place. If you're following an influencer who is, you know, has a six pack abs and is telling you like, well, if you just eat like me, then you would look like me.
Right.
Or if you're following those kinds of people and they're making you feel bad, or maybe you're following, it could be even something really kind of not, you know, not bad, quote unquote bad, but it could be maybe a mom who has like five kids and she's always posting her kids and it's making you feel bad, then I would say just unfollow. Mm-hmm. And really fill your space in your home, on your social media. Surround yourself with all of the things that really make you feel good.
Such a good piece of advice. And when that comes to the fertility space too, I found recently like people will say, because they know what I'm doing and what I've been going through too, they'll be like, well, I tried this or I did this and I got pregnant so quick. Well, you can't necessarily say that because you ate this or because you did this or because of your healthy lifestyle, you got pregnant within 1 to 2 months. And I think we need people to realize that. Like, of course, do I promote being healthy? Of course I do. I even suggest like we prep our body for 2 or 3 months before we decide, 3 months really, before we get pregnant. But the thing is, like, we're seeing the supplement, we're seeing the diet, this specific thing that got me pregnant in X amount of time or that made me lose this amount of weight. And everybody is different, so we can't say that. And so those people need to go and we need to get them off of our social feeds.
Absolutely. Because what works for one person is not going to work for the other. And two, three, four, however many women can have the same exact symptom, but the root of that symptom is going to be completely different.
For sure.
So like I mentioned in the beginning, working with a health practitioner that can help you dig and find, you know, what is the root, where is this coming from? And like I said, sometimes I even bring in other practitioners because I acknowledge that I don't have all of the skills that are necessary, because there is more, you know, there's that mind body connection, and then there's the food piece, and there's the exercise piece, and there's, you know, circulation to the uterus and that sort of thing. And I'm not a, you know, specialize in all of these things, but I can use my resources to kind of bring the women in my community together to help the women going through a natural or a fertility journey, or maybe they just prepare their body for pregnancy with kind of like the resources and the other practitioners that I know. But I know that I cannot help every single person. And I also don't have all of the answers, especially when it comes to like natural health. And in any situation, it usually takes multiple practitioners or multiple strategies to help you get to your goal. If one person promises that they can help you with everything, it's not true. I mean, maybe for you, because you also do that Reiki and the spirituality.
No, it is not. It is not. And I appreciate that you say that, because I really want people to be weary of those that say, I can do this 100%, because you're right. It does take a team, and people resonate with various coaches for different reasons. And so your skills are different than my skills, even though we have a lot of crossover, that people identify with you for a specific reason. And so when you've realized that there's something that you're not the expert on, call in the expert. You don't have to know everything. When it comes to, for example, gut health, I know a lot of the basics of gut health. I do a ton around gut health, but there are certain things where I'm like, that is out of my scope of practice. And I bring in somebody to do GI map testing, for example. Like there are, and I think a good practitioner is upfront about that. And they say, this is my skill set, and here's what I can bring in for you if we need extra assistance.
For sure, because I know what it's like to be on the other side, trying to get the answers from somebody and, you know, having them make those promises that, okay, this is what you need and this is what you need. And I had seen, you know, a naturopathic doctor for myself when I was going through my own health issues, who was telling me, no, you just need to take these probiotics and these things and that, and, you know, and it turned out that it was more mental, emotional than anything else, because I read Louise Hay's book, You Can Heal Your Life. And that did more for me than any supplement that I was taking.
Preach.
You know?
Yeah. Really gotten into that recently, because I'm also doing supplements. I'm trying out some different diet things. And even when it comes to the endo stuff, I've realized what you focus on grows. So the more I focus on the pain, the more I focus on what could be going wrong with my fertility, what's the worst case scenario if I have this surgery, the more I realize and the more I manifest symptoms, because I'm focusing on them. So that correlates to fertility as well. The more you're thinking about what could go wrong, why your body's not performing well, what are you not focusing on? Everything that can go right. And also that is, again, going back to that energetic mismatch, you're not calling in the things that are actually going to help you, going to help release you, because you're only focusing on the negative. Easier said than done, I understand, but it's an important piece of the puzzle.
Affirmations can be very helpful in that case, especially if you're somebody who doesn't really believe it or doesn't believe that like it'll happen for you, or you're kind of going through a period where you're finding it difficult to kind of keep a positive mindset. Put post-its wherever you can of just like positive things that you want to attract, right? I accept myself. I love myself. I am fertile. I am whatever it is that you want to bring in, and repeat it. I know that really did help me. Like I said, just making my space a positive space and getting rid of everything that didn't make me feel good. Reading more about the mind-body connection, even like the Netflix documentary Heal, like that for me, when I recommend it to my clients to watch it, especially when I see that there might be that kind of energetic block where they are feeling like it can't happen for them, or they're feeling like it's not probable that it'll happen for them, and they're finding it hard to stay positive, I'll say, you know what, watch this. It's something fun they can do. It doesn't require them to go out and buy any supplements. They can just sit down, relax, and watch this. And they always tell me, they're like, thank you. Like, I needed that little you know,
heal's a good one. Heal's a good one. This is reminding me a lot of, and I'm going to wrap it up here soon, but there are a lot of books on fertility that can be overwhelming because it very much gets into the nutritional stuff and the physiological stuff. But there's a book that I love. It's called Awakening Fertility, and it's by the same author of The First 40 Days, which is a great book to get if you're postpartum. But anyway, that book really focuses on like broad loving nutrition. And it talks about a lot of Chinese principles around fertility. And they're very much on this energetic, emotional, mental, the body is made to heal. And so Awakening Fertility was one of my favorite books that got me, like it sunk me into my body and got me out of this whole like nitpicky mode that I was in. In Chinese medicine, they actually don't even use the term infertility because they believe that it's only a very, very small percentage of women that truly are infertile, and that they say using that word is not even a great thing because it prevents women from really believing that their body is capable.
Absolutely. And I did want to say that as well, was that, you know, telling yourself or labeling yourself with something is so bad, right?
Yes.
It's so bad for our mental health to put a label on it, right? So when we label ourselves as having infertility, or we have PCOS, or we have interstitial cystitis or painful bladder syndrome, whatever the label is that they're giving us, you know, and then we put ourselves in this box. And then it's like, maybe we'll join, I don't know, a Facebook group, or we'll watch YouTube videos on it of other people's experiences.
Yeah.
Other, especially in the fertility groups. Like if you are going through a fertility journey and you are not pregnant yet, but you're like still on that journey, I would say stay out of the fertility
groups. Can be so negative.
Oh my goodness. Yeah. So, you know, everybody's posting their charts. Everybody's posting their ovulation sticks. Everybody's posting their pregnancy test. Like, just stay out of it. Don't label yourself as anything. This is the issue that you're facing. We need to get over it, right? We need to find ways to get over it, to feel better. We need to find ways to hit our goals, whatever it is, whether it be in, you know, the fertility space, or maybe it's just in health and wellness space. But we don't need to actually put a label on it. We can just start to find solutions. And a huge piece, like I mentioned, is believing that it is possible for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And that goes with the mental health space too, which was my whole lead into this space originally, was because I was struggling with so much anxiety, and I was labeled like, you have general anxiety disorder, you have to take anxiety meds. And when you just have that label of, I have anxiety, I have depression, whatever the case may be, then all of a sudden it's I am anxiety, I am depression. And you almost wear that as your identity, when in reality, it's just something that you sometimes struggle with, and there are solutions, and there's workarounds. And so I believe in that wholeheartedly. I feel like I could talk to you for hours because there are so many different topics we could just jam on. And I love that, but I feel like it's coming to the hour. So I should wrap you up, which I don't even want to, but I so appreciate you coming on the show today and sharing with us. Where can women find you if they want to learn more, they want to follow you, they want to check out your programs? Where can they find you?
Yeah. So right now, my website, J Victoria Health, is under construction, but maybe when this is posted, it might not be. So for now, the main place to find me is at J Victoria Health on Instagram. So at J Victoria Health.
Perfect. Wonderful. Well, we'll link that in the show notes for everybody to find you there as well. Well, thank you so much again for coming on, and I can't wait to keep in touch soon on the Instagram world and all of the other good places.
Thank you so much. Have a good one.
You too. I hope that you guys really loved that conversation. I felt like I could have talked to her for so much longer. Like I mentioned in the intro, it's wonderful just to sit down and talk to somebody who's in the same field as you and has the exact same philosophies when it comes to women's hormone health. And I hope that you could hear our passion for this area of wellness. And make sure to reach out to Jessica if you're looking for support. We'll have her information linked in the show notes for you. And just a reminder that if you have been really looking into private coaching, right now I'm only taking 3 more clients for the next 6 months, and the doors to that private program will be closing in September. So if you are interested in working together, there is a link in the show notes to schedule your 30-minute hormone deep dive. We can talk all about what those 6 months look like and make sure that it's a good fit for you. All right, that's all I have for you guys this week, and cannot wait to talk to you next Monday with a new guest. See you soon.